Yes, yes, it's that time. I'm Tim Rocky right here on Radio Free Palmer with the Radio Free Palmer sports scene. We've got Super Bowl. We've got hockey region tournament heading into hockey state tournament. Stay tuned. We've got all your sports numbers, news, and nonsense right here on the Radio Free Palmer sports scene. Welcome. Welcome into the Radio Free Palmer sports scene. I am Tim Rocky. I am here with all of your sports numbers, news, and nonsense. The very best in secondhand sports journalism. We've also got some jazz and blues, some sports, and some news coming your way. So we've got to cover more than one thing on this show, as we always have to do. That thing that they call the biggest game of the year happened this last week. It was the Super Bowl. We will have to talk about that. So much happened, not even just encompassing the game, but things that happened on Twitter. Yes, I know people hate it when I talk about Twitter. Things that happened on Twitter, things that happened during the halftime show, things that happened after the game, things that happened during the game but we're not on the field. Super Bowl is as close to a uniquely American holiday as Independence Day, in that two teams fight for football supremacy and the entire world is watching, but the entire United States has money on it. I mean okay, not really. I very much enjoyed this year's Super Bowl. I watched it at my brother's house surrounded by family. There was a new puppy that was going around as kind of, you know, establishing dominance was whoever was petting the puppy at the time. The game was bananas. We're going to go over the game in painstaking detail. Just you wait. But we have got to talk about the Super Bowl, of course. The New England Patriots won 34-28 in the first overtime game in Super Bowl history. So we are not just a one-trick pony. We are one trick pony, and we are not just a one sports show. We will have to do some talking as well about the North Star Conference Championship. We will also have to do some talking about the Cook Inlet Conference Championship. I have some news, people. I am not only doing some journalizing and some journalisting on these here airwaves, but I've got a little bit of a gig as a freelance reporter, and so I got the directive to go out and watch the Cook Inlet Conference Championship, which I then did. It was outstanding, as hockey usually tends to be, especially between teams of that caliber. Chugiak beat Eagle River 4-1. I will have so many more stats coming your way from that game, as well as some live they were live when I recorded them, but some interviews that I used for the story that I wrote for the Eagle newspaper out of Eagle River. And so we've got a little bit of firsthand journalism coming your way this week, not just the secondhand journalism that you may be so very very used to. Got to talk some NBA. Things are, they're moving and they're shaking and they're happening. The trade deadline vastly approaches. We've talked about that at great and painstaking length, who may go where, but not who actually has gone where. We have to talk about Mr. Paul Pierce and the honor being bestowed to him by his former team. We've got to talk about some of these teams that are on the rise, and it's not just their time to be next now, but they are actually the ones taking down these big dog teams. We've got so much to talk about. It is, as always, it's a blast to be here on air with you, the listeners, just chilling, whether you're in your car, you're at home, wherever you're at. Hope you're having a good time. We're going to change up the music vibe from the classic All Black Keys All the Time that we normally do. I'm going to rock some Creedence. We're going to rock some reggae later. Who am I? It's the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I'm Tim Rocky. You're listening to 89.5 FM in Sutton, 89.7 FM in Palmer. Yeah, it's all over the place. Radio Free Palmer, the biggest of Big Cabbage Radio. John Fogerty is that dude. So we're going to have to talk about the Super Bowl. And as is kind of tradition on this show, I'm going to try to keep it short. I'm going to try to keep it concise, but I'm probably going to fail. So we've got to talk about the first half. There are so many different things we could talk about when it comes to the Super Bowl. We could focus on all of the things that had nothing to do with football. We could focus on only the things that had to do with football. But we are going to... we're going to try to cover a little bit of everything, but not all of everything, if that makes sense. So, Luke Bryan sang the national anthem. If you're a betting person, he was under the betting minimum. I believe it was 215, and he was under 209. And as soon as the national anthem was done, it was all Falcons. Now, coming into this game, there were a lot of different predictions. Falcons having the number one offense, Patriots having the number one scoring defense. Falcons being clearly the hottest team in the league, came in looking just like it. Devontae Freeman started the scoring off with just 12:15 left in the first quarter. That's very, very early. Austin Hooper caught a 19-yard pass from Matt Bryant, put them up two scores. Robert Alford intercepted Tom Brady and took it back 82 yards to the house with 2:21 left in the second quarter. Now, Tom Brady, as he's being intercepted, goes, runs. Tom Brady is not a fast man. He is a historically not fast man. Goes and runs and tries to tackle the man 11 years older than him, Robert Alford, who's just picked him off. And he has no such luck. He is not even close, for that matter. It's a scoring defensive touchdown, which is what the Patriots are known for. And it shouldn't be happening to them, especially with Tom Terrific going for his fifth Super Bowl ring. So at the end of the half, the Patriots get the ball, and they get a little closer to the goal, and they don't actually achieve it. They have to go for a field goal. So as they go for a field goal, it becomes 21-3 before the half. And I'm sitting there watching the game with my family, and I think, this game is over. There's no way the Patriots can climb back. The defense of the Atlanta Falcons is getting to Tom Brady. His receivers are not open. They are, when he does make a good pass and he actually hits his receivers in the hands, they're being batted out of their hands by the Atlanta defensive backs. This defense looks amazing. The offense looks like it's firing on all cylinders. The running backs are doing a good job. The receivers are open and are making plays after the catch. Matt Ryan is, moving the pocket, and he's doing well. There is no question that during the first half of this game, the Atlanta Falcons are the better team. Now, we get back to play after the halftime show, and we'll talk about the halftime show here in a minute. But the second half is what really needs to be talked about, because the Patriots make the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Now, Tom Brady previously owned the best comeback in Super Bowl history with 10 points. But what Tom Brady does is he comes back from a deficit of 21 points. So Tevin Coleman scores on a 6-yard pass from Matt Ryan to put Atlanta up 28-3. And at that point, not only is the game over, but I'm starting my car, I'm getting a plate and putting some tinfoil on it, and I'm saying goodbye to everybody. And I'm like, you know what? Super Bowl party is over, because the Super Bowl is over. But following that score, we have some records to go over. So James White, who is undefeated as a Patriot, because last year he got hurt right at the end of the season. Not coincidentally, when they lost games, he was hurt. He was rehabbing during the beginning of the season this year when they lost games. James White is 17-0 in his last 17 Patriots games. Now, James White set a record this Super Bowl with 14 receptions, which is the second time that a Tom Brady receiver has set the record for receptions in a Super Bowl. Of course, Deion Branch had 11 receptions in Super Bowl 39. Now, James White also has 3 touchdowns, which is the most since Terrell Davis in Super Bowl 32. So he has himself a game. He starts this game off with a 5-yard pass from Tom Brady scoring, and right after that, the Steven Gostkowski point after touchdown attempt fails. He boings it off the right upright, and it is so very scary that the Patriots are showing that they are human at this point. But they then come back in the fourth quarter, down 28-9. Steven Gostkowski kicks a 33-yard field goal with 9:44 left. And at that point, you look at what they've got on the clock and you say, you need to go for it. You have got to score a touchdown, a 2-point conversion, another touchdown, and a 2-point conversion immediately just to tie it. Patriots being the Patriots, they do just that. On their ensuing drive, Danny Amendola catches a 6-yard pass from Tom Brady. James White runs in for the 2-point conversion. Then James White runs for 1 yard, and the Tom Brady pass to Danny Amendola is good for the 2-point conversion. On that drive, Julian Edelman makes the most ridiculous catch of all time. He catches the ball, is hit, drops the ball onto someone else, picks it up, and at that point is wrapped up by about 3 different people. There's no way to describe this catch accurately as to how ridiculous it was. With all the bodies flying around and the different directions they were flying and the way the ball came in, Julian Edelman should not have made that catch. But they made the call, they reviewed it, and it was correct. And he made one of the greatest Super Bowl catches of all time after Julio Jones had made one of the greatest-looking Super Bowl catches of all time. When he catches a strike from Matt Ryan right down at the end, it should have been the end of the game at that point. They get the ball, and they're moving right along, but it's looking like they're going to have to punt. But Matt Ryan throws this ball to Julio Jones for 27 yards, and they are then at the New England 22. Now, at that point, you think you've got 4.5 minutes left. You're up by one score. You need to kick the field goal, put yourself up by two scores, and just let the Patriots know that they're never going to win that fifth Super Bowl. But after running the ball once, they then try to pass the ball. Matt Ryan gets sacked and loses 12 yards by Trey Flowers. They get out of field goal range, and that's where it got real. It got really, really real, and the Patriots not only had a real chance to come back, but began that comeback. Matt Ryan then throws another incomplete pass. Here's the thing about incomplete passes. They stop the clock, and that's not what you want. What you want is to keep the clock going. A lot of people suggest what you should have done is you should have run the ball three times after this amazing Julio Jones catch, 27 yards, puts you down at the 22. He jumps over the defensive back, wrangles the ball in with his massive hands, and then toe taps about an inch from the line. And it's a great catch. And they should have recognized it and said, you know what, that was cool. Let's never do anything else on a football field because we just won the Super Bowl. But instead, they give it back to Tom Terrific, and he does what he does. Takes them down and scores with 57 seconds left. Then in overtime, as you know, they have the new rules. So it's not a free period, and whoever's winning at the end of the period is the winner. It's a sudden death, if you will. The first person to score a touchdown wins. And if they both score a field goal, it is then the first person to score a touchdown. Tom Brady works his magic, throws another complete pass to James White, then Danny Amendola, then Chris Hogan. He spreads the ball around and then culminates with a two-yard run by James White. Holy cow, the Patriots are five-time champions. We have to consult with our stats department on what exactly the Patriots championship means here real quick while we let you listen to some rockin' tunes. I'm Tim Rocky. This is the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene here on 89.5 Radio Free Palmer. Some tunes from the Sammy C Project, which is a ski film that I kind of like. So that was The Veil of Isis from The Sword, Acropophon. Some metal for you here on your bluesy Tuesday. So we've got to go over the records that happened. We told you that James White had a record 14 receptions. We also told you that Tom Brady won his fifth Super Bowl, which is the most championships by any quarterback. He is tied with Bart Starr, actually, with the most championships with five. But Bart Starr, the great Green Bay Packer quarterback, had three in the American Football League. So those are a little different than Super Bowl championships. Brady and Belichick together have 25 postseason wins. That is 11 more than any other combination. And Brady's 466 passing yards, also a Super Bowl record. So this game goes down. It's redonkulous. It's bananas. It's off the wall. It's everything you want it to be. Tom Brady throws for 466 yards. Matt Ryan set a record for accuracy in the first half. He was 17 of 23. He didn't miss more than two passes in the first half. James White goes for 110 yards with 14 receptions. Of course, we told you that's a record. Julio Jones is mostly calmed down with only 87 yards on his four receptions, but they obviously had some receiving yards to spread out. Matt Ryan fumbled once. LeGarrette Blount also fumbled in the first half that led to the kind of demise of the Patriots in the first half. Trey Flowers is credited with 2.5 sacks. Dante Hightower picks up one. And Grady Jarrett gets 3 sacks, the first player to have 3 sacks in a game on Tom Brady since Joey Porter did so a long time ago. You know it's a long time ago because Joey Porter's a coach now. So, the halftime show features one Lady Gaga, and it's weird. We can say that about just about anything Lady Gaga does. But she opens the set with God Bless America and This Land Is Your Land, which I think was unique to Super Bowl halftime performances, and I just wanted to mention that that was kind of a unifying thing as far as we knew we were all as Americans watching the Super Bowl, and then we all got to see Lady Gaga sing these truly American songs. So you know, throw shade on whatever you want to throw shade on that she did. Other than that, she wore football pads, she caught a pass at one point, she jumped off of a building, but she did sing some pretty American songs that weren't hers. So good for Lady Gaga. And so after the game, we've got all this anticipation of how is Roger Goodell going to handle giving this trophy over to Tom Brady, who he kind of tried to make out as the bad guy. It goes off without a hitch. Brady is his usual self. He doesn't swear, although there are so many cuss words picked up by live microphones said by other players, mostly to Brady, because at this point, he's the melon farming greatest, if you know what I mean. And the award show happens kind of without a hitch, but after the game, Tom Brady's like, where's my jersey at? Where's my jersey at? I don't know where my jersey is. I just won my 5th Super Bowl. I'm the greatest quarterback of all time. Clearly the greatest football player of all time. Where's my jersey at? So his jersey, it was suspected that it was stolen for quite some time. And then it kind of is put around there that, hey, look for Tom Brady's jersey on the black market. And nobody can really find it. So it appears that an equipment manager tried to hide it in a safe place for Tom Brady, then forgot what that safe place was. They found it today. Good for Tom Brady. We're going to be back with some high school sports on the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. Welcome back to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. So, I am Tim Rocky. I am here. I talk sports. I do things. I play blues and jazz here, there, a little bit of everywhere. So, I had a chance to cover for the Eagle, the Chugiak Eagle River Cook Inlet Conference Championship game. And I want to get my thoughts out about that as quickly as I can. I know that's going to be a disaster because really that game was so awesome and that experience was so cool that it's almost like the Super Bowl. It's going to be hard for me to get everything out. So I get into the game, and I brought one of my friends with me to be the photographer, and he kind of had trouble with the camera, but that first impression, we get there 45 minutes early, and the parking lot is jam-packed. And we get inside, and the place is jam-packed 45 minutes early. The puck has not even dropped yet. People are not even playing for a championship, and this place is packed wall-to-wall. So I went up to find the fire marshal, and I talked to him with Kari Bustamante, who is right there, from Channel 2 News, and she says, how many people have you let in? And he goes, about 700. She goes, what's the capacity? And he goes, well, we're going to try to let in 1,000 people tonight. Holy shnikes. So, sitting there trying to watch some hockey, and luckily enough, I am part of the standing room only section of the arena, and at that point, I'm sitting next to a couple of South High hockey players, and I'm trying to ask them everything I can figure out about these two teams. And they're kind of giving me some good information, but I'm just watching these two heavyweights go at it. And I had watched the Colony Sohi game the night before, and just seeing how large and physical these guys are and how skilled they are, their passes are on point, they're skating so fast, some of these hits are just kind of not even knocking anyone out of the realm of being focused on the hockey game. So the first score is by Zach Kranick, and he comes in, and John Hammer is going after the puck, and the Eagle River goalie decides, you know what, I'm going to poke the puck away from him, and it goes right to Kranick, who scores right away. Chugiak goes bananas. You can hear the separation in the arena because Chugiak is going crazy and Eagle River is not at all. And so 6 seconds later, McDonald scores for Eagle River on a low wrist shot that just gets past the Chugiak goalie. And again, the other half of the arena just goes crazy. So this game was excellent. Kranick ended up with another assist. Chugiak won 4-1. They're going to be the number one seed in the state tournament. They will play, let me find it here, I believe Wasilla, who also made it into the state tournament with a second place finish in the North Star Conference. Wasilla opens the tournament Thursday at 5 p.m. at the Menard Center, and Colony will play Diamond at 7:30 p.m. at the Menard. Hope to see some Valley representation in the last couple games of the state tournament. I'm probably going to end up doing quite a bit more reporting on Chugiak Sports. So I will bring some firsthand journalism your way as soon as I can. All right, we are just about done with what we've got for the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a good time watching the Super Bowl as I did. And go out there and watch some hockey. There's some great hockey to be watched in Wasilla. I'm Tim Rocky, and this has been the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I'm out.
A big tree in my garden. In the winter, he protect me from the snow. In the summer, he get to me some shadow. In the spring, he give to me some sweet fruits. During the autumn, on the branch of the leaf are gone. The big tree in my garden. There is a big tree in my garden. He was already 100 years old when I'm born. Already 100 years old when I'm born.
A tree without roots shall not live, but a tree without new branches.
He had any. Oh my God! Oh! Shut it down! Let's go home! It's a wrap.